by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
I'm on the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Dead to Rule of A, on The Ooze, right now.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into adversarial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in, boys and girls. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the air is Jeanette. Jeanette, how are you doing today?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right, now we got Daryl hanging out in the chat room. Looks like Jason Sherrell just rolled in. Lehi's hanging in there. There's just the three of them that I can see, but the Flash Chat module on the switchboard is kind of retarded, so there may be more people in there than that. But anyways, yeah, so they're hanging in there. Daryl actually, he was hitting some pretty good points earlier and actually kind of predicting how this show was going to start off. So to prove him wrong, I'm going to first mention that I'm personally boycotting something I never thought that I would boycott. Back in, I think it was 07, 08, I was talking a lot with this guy at that time who called himself Shadowhawk. His real name was Eric Schutz. Shadowhawks was talking about creating this, social environment for Satanists, like MySpace, and he was going to call it MySatan. Well, sure as shit, he did. The very first header that went up on that website I designed, I was the very first moderator for it, and it's a shame what it's turned into. So any of my fans who trust my judgment, I would recommend doing the same. There's been a heavy amount of censorship and abuse of admin privileges, people being suspended for what I don't consider to be just cause, just basically because somebody needs a tampon in their mangina.
Mm-hmm. The thing is with the whole thing is that an admin there started like a big turf war between the two sites, specifically calling out Sin and calling out the people that have gotten the tag assassins, which I was rather shocked about to begin with because he was criticizing them for personal attacks while personally attacking them, which is incredibly hypocritical. And it's just gotten worse from there. It's turned into kind of a Gestapo situation where if you don't agree, then you're personally attacking somebody, even if you went after the idea instead of the person.
Right, absolutely. So with that, all that being said, just a brief mention, if you've got an account at mysatan.net and you want to kind of stand up against that type of tyranny, just delete your account. Beyond that, I guess we should really start going in. We already got, it looks like Daryl calling in. So we may not even get actually going into this, but I'm going to go ahead and bring him up.
Okay, cool. I haven't talked to him in a while.
What's up, Daryl? Daryl?
Hello?
Hello? I think he needs to work on his Skype connection. Daryl, dude, we're not hearing you, so try it again. I'm going to go ahead and hang up. All right. So, unfortunately, that didn't work, but hopefully he'll call back in a bit. Before we really get started, I guess we've kind of talked a little bit over the past couple of weeks, you and I, about doing a show together.
Okay.
You're one of my favorite people to observe. I've seen you grow a lot in the past, I think about a year now that I've known you. You know, you started off originally being accused of being supplicated and being a simple fangirl. And mm-hmm. in the process of that happening, you proved to them that you pretty much can kick just about anybody's ass if they piss you off enough. So you've been one of my favorite people to watch grow.
Well, yeah, and honestly, out of anybody at Sin, I think I've said this before, but you're the only person that I really followed or was like, you were one of the few people that I found on YouTube, actually, in other places, and I, like, followed you for a while. So, like, it's always been weird with me with you because, like, I was so nervous when I first met you to talk to you because I was like, oh, my God, it's Vecino, which is, you know, kind of funny because, I mean, like, you're you, so, like, I get this with people, too, so, like, I don't really get it, but, yeah, I was always like, oh, my God, it's Vecino, I don't know what to say to him, I don't know how to act around him, which is really funny, you know, because, yeah, you know, you've always been one of my favorite people, and I think that you've always been a really good voice within the LHP, kind of offering a perspective that's not as, I don't know how to explain it, you've always been more hitting the core than hitting a lot of the outer essence that everybody else gets into, which is what I've always really enjoyed about your stuff.
Right on. Well, I appreciate that very much. I thought you were going to say it was kind of funny because I'm retarded, but since you didn't call me that, I'm good. anyway, Daryl's calling back in, so let me try this again. Daryl, what's up?
Can you hear me, man?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
All right, I'm having some major technical difficulties.
Okay.
So, I missed everything. Right when the show came on, I heard Daryl, and then it cut me off, and I have no idea what's going on.
I was just saying that you did a very good job in the beginning, before the show started in the chat room, of actually kind of guessing some of what would be discussed today. Mm-hmm. And so instead of actually getting into it like I was intending to at first, I decided I would discuss my boycott of my state, and that way I could start with something a little bit different and throw you off. That's all I was saying.
All right. Well, I have an admission. I have not been to that site for, right when I came to Sin all that long ago, someone told me to check it out, and I checked it out very briefly, and I've never been back, so I'm kind of clueless as to this whole, the whole mess.
No, you're not missing anything, man.
Oh, no, it's, I was rather surprised. That was, I was behind Tursa. He put up a blog saying that he wanted to kind of bring the site back, and that's actually why I wound up joining the second time. The first time was to defend myself, because people were up there just, oh, it was ridiculous. There were all these blogs against me and posts and everything else, so I went over there to defend myself, and then I left because I was like, well, F this, and then I came back because Tursa had posted that blog. I think it was Echoes in Empty Halls is what he called it. And then it's devolved from there even further to where you've got this one admin that's kind of like pushing this egalitarian everybody's right idea, except and he will say that you shouldn't personally attack anybody there, you're not allowed to, while basically all of his posts are filled with personal attacks, and he deletes anything that actually attacks his ideas. So it's really ridiculous and gross because it's turned into a real I don't know, it's an abuse of admin privileges, it's an abuse of moderator privileges, it's an abuse of, you know, any kind of power that anybody could have over the internet, and then on top of it, it's kind of like, I don't know, if you read anything, everybody's always like, oh, you're so great, and it's like, well, it wasn't really, you know, and this person picked it apart correctly, but there's nothing you can do about it. And he started it with a post, actually, against Sin, which was pretty clearly against Sin and the 600 Club, for basically no reason.
Two? No? No? Still there? Technical difficulties?
I'm here. I'm just curious, is this a new thing, or does this have a history? Is it born of something else?
That's a good question, and I don't think I could answer that myself.
Well, as for me and Mavon personally, he was always really nice to me. He kind of does the posting behind your back, saying nasty stuff, and it turned out he really didn't like me at all. He actually showed up for one of my highlight editions just to trash me. I mean, this guy has steadily basically targeted me or other people for really no reason except for the fact that they somehow inherently disagree with him. And what kills me is that, you know, he's a Luciferian. And my whole stance on it is, you know, if you're not a Satanist, I'll leave you alone. You go do your own freaky thing, that's okay. But this guy is like, I don't know, he wants to comment on something that he doesn't even subscribe to, which I always find rather ironic when people do that.
No, wait a minute. Isn't this the same site that the link says this is a satanic site for people that call themselves a Satanist? What does that mean?
Yep.
And you say that he's a Luciferian, so he doesn't even call himself a Satanist?
Yep.
Yeah, see, to me, that's just silly. Which, I mean, I'm not so bound to titles anyway. That's why I devised my own title to represent exactly one thing. But how is that, how is he relevant to his own site in that case?
Good question. Once again.
Yeah, these are the kind of questions that get asked over there that just get shut down instantly.
Right on. Well, I don't want to eat up too much of the show with this stuff. I just kind of wanted to make that little bit of an announcement, and then I was catching you up since you didn't hear. If you don't mind, I'd like to kind of move along.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So, to get into the what we're doing here and why I chose the title that I did, an idea that has been pretty prominent as of lately, in Sin's forms at the very least, I've seen it in a lot of other places too, but something that's being heavily pointed to is this thing called praxis. Well, the thing of it is that the way that it's talked about, the way that it's discussed, the way that the idea is expressed is very familiar to me under a different terminology. In the fourth way, praxis is called doing. Just very simply, it's called doing, and it's discussed the same way. So I chose this because these are a couple of different interests that both Jeanette and I share, you know, just some of these specific ideologies, and I assume that, you know, that's what we're going to be discussing here. So that's how the show got to being called the Praxis Edition.
Oh, yeah, no, and I like that it's just called doing in the fourth way. I picked the word up praxis from Diavolo, actually. He has posted that on one of my blogs. I was trying to describe it, and he said, most people get stuck on the fact that it's a religion or philosophy. Few realize it's a praxis, and I Googled praxis, and I was like, oh, process, doing. Well, that's perfect. That's the perfect word for, you know, this whole thing, and I never encountered the word before, so I picked it up right then.
Right on. So as we discussed when we were talking about what we would do on this show, we were going to get into the practice of making a memory, at least according to Gurdjieff. So I made myself some notes here, and if I stop with a little bit of a pause, it's because I'm reading through the notes that I have just so I can kind of keep somewhat of a coherent conversation going here. I don't want to make a fool out of myself when, you know, I've got Jeanette here who I know will call me out my shit. So, but to begin really understanding this whole process, you have to understand a couple of things about the fourth way. The first is that Gurdjieff talks about things and he describes them as to what centers they deal with. And these centers are central locations of different things. You have an intellectual center. You have an emotional center. You have a physical center. You have a sexual center. You have an active center, and so forth. I mean, there are a bunch of different ones, but the idea comes that emotions are dealt with in a very different way than thoughts are dealt with, and actions are dealt with in a very different way than emotions or thoughts are dealt with, and so forth. They can all work together, but things of that particular nature fall within these centers. Now, to kind of further this along and make it make a little more sense, each of these centers, when properly aligned, works very well with the other centers. They kind of all work in unison. But what has happened, because you have these different processing methods, is you've developed a thing called personality. Now, personality, as it's described in the fourth way, is literally the mechanism that you use to interact with anything outside of the body. It is a learned method or a learned process. It is a learned behavior that you exhibit, and your personality can be mildly different depending on who you're interacting with, but your essence will always remain the same.
Yeah.
So if all of that makes sense, then we can move on to the way that you actually discover that this is a truth. And the way that you discover this is a truth is that you stop when you're doing something or when something happens, and you begin to observe yourself. You observe not only how you're feeling, how you're thinking, what your body's doing, but you also observe its interaction. And you do so in a third-person kind of perspective. And this act is actually called self-observation or self-remembering. And the way that we can kind of understand self-remembering, everybody has that moment that they remember when they were a child, where, you know, the sun was warm on your face and the breeze was just a certain way. And as you experience that same feeling throughout life, you're reminded for a moment of that particular second that we're talking about.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So,
no, I think that self-observation is a very useful tool. I think that he really nails that you have to step outside of yourself and look at yourself from an objective point of view, because everybody gets so tied up in themselves emotionally, and I think it's one of the inherent problems when you're trying to advance ahead is, you know, you're tied up in yourself emotionally as well as everything else, you know. So being able to step outside of yourself and observe yourself in a third-person point of view is really critical to, you know, realizing what you need to work on or, you know, where you're really at times.
Right, absolutely. We've talked often about the three things that you are, and this act that we're talking about is observing all of three of those things at once.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the two, which are those three things that you are, or what you think you are and what others think you are, and together, mm-hmm. they could possibly equal the third, but it's still something a little more, and the third is what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take what you think you are and what somebody else thinks you are, put them together, and you're halfway there to understanding what you really are.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think that other people's input is critical, because sometimes, especially if you're emotionally tied up in something, you will miss some of the, you know, what's inherently wrong with the way that you're viewing the world currently in any way. And I think it's important to take that who other people think you are and who you think you are and really kind of filter that, because the who you really are, I think, is really, in a lot of ways, the end goal here is to figure out who you really are and where you really need to go next.
Right. I would agree with that.
I would have an issue with that, and it would be that it would depend on who the other person is, as far as thinking, as far as who they think I am. I would probably hold their thoughts under a much more thorough interrogation than I would my own thoughts as to who I am, if that makes any sense.
Well, it does make sense. Yeah, it does. Because some people just, you know, naturally dislike you or naturally have a problem with you. But,
right,
you know,
right.
I think that looking at, and I call it the negative third self, which is, you know, the person that, you know, you're, the people that hate you the most think you are. I think sometimes people that have real, you know, almost are to the point of hate, sometimes provide a better, honest point of view than people that actually like you or care about you.
Well,
and
I mean,
it's, oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, for me, it would go, excuse me, it would go either way. If someone disliked you, it would be the same effect as if they admired you too much. I wouldn't consider whether they liked or disliked me. It would be the accuracy of their assessment of me that I would hold into an account, basically.
I don't have a particular issue with that portion of what you're saying, Daryl, but what I would say when you said earlier that you would, you know, hold what other people think a much harder scrutiny than your own thoughts, I would remind you that everybody lies. Absolutely everybody in this world lies. And most of the time, they even lie to themselves. They tell themselves that they are this thing or they are that thing. I mean, that's how we get these complexes of self-delusion, like other people who peddle this particular philosophy that I do, yet only focus on one aspect of it.
Right.
So, you should hold all three of those always with the same level of criticism. What you think, what other people think, and what the entirety of the picture is, you know, the parts being greater than the whole, of course.
Well, that would bring up the issue for me. How well can you know what another thinks? You can deceive yourself to a certain point, but you can interrogate your own thoughts because you can experience them entirely. How can you truly know what another thinks?
The question is, here's the thing about this, okay? And I'll explain this to you in the simplest way that I can think. If you were inside of a box, you could describe the inside of your inside of the box perfectly. You would know what the corners look like. You know, you would know what the walls look like. You would know what the height is. You would know the flaps above. But you would never be able to describe it from the outside perspective. You would never be able to describe it if the box was open and you were looking into it. The picture changes when you're able to move yourself away from that. And that's kind of the whole point of self-observing in the first place.
Right, right.
So, now, what we're going to be talking about tonight requires us to think on two different levels. We have to think of things in terms of what we is referred to as self-remembering. Now, this is actually completely different than forming a memory, or at least this is how Gurdjieff had explained it. When self-remembering is that instance in which you are aware of yourself. Everybody has those moments, and if you think back, every single memory that you've ever had is directly related to that moment where you were aware of yourself. You know, if you weren't aware of yourself, chances are you don't remember it. You don't remember driving down the road, coming home from work today. I doubt you remember half the cars that went by you because you were not aware of yourself.
Right. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you suggested that I read up on him, it was quite a while back. And if I'm not terribly mistaken, he talked about how it usually takes a traumatic or some sort of experience that stands out to cause you to do that and become aware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I certainly agree with that.
From a sleeper's perspective, from a mundane's perspective, there's another parallel there. The term mundane, the way that it's used and described is the same way that Gurdjieff talked about people who were mostly asleep.
Yep.
So there's another parallel there between the two ways of thinking. It's the same way of thinking, it's just two ways of describing that thinking.
Right.
But from the perspective of somebody who's mundane or somebody who is asleep, they generally are oblivious unless something detrimental happens. Because at that point, they're forced to be aware. They're forced to be aware of themselves. They're forced to be aware of, the connection between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually the secret to forming a memory. Memories are formed in that way. When you remember yourself, at that moment, you can make a memory.
And when you say that, you imply when you remember yourself on that level.
Right. Exactly. Well, when I'm talking about remembering yourself, I'm always talking about on that level.
Right.
It's when you're awakened, when you're not so much asleep, when you have a heightened sense of awareness. That is the point in which your little circuitry runs back over to the hard drive and starts writing down the information that will be with you for the rest of your life, most likely.
Yep.
So I thought that was interesting. I forget how we actually got to the point where, oh, wait a minute, well, we'll talk about this. But I believe it was perfectly relevant to why I wanted to do this show entirely. But since I can't remember what it was that drew this whole thing up in the first place, at least we can, have a healthy examination of what forming a memory is, and then we can kind of talk about ways that maybe you can put it into practice consciously forming memories, saying, okay, this is a moment that I want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
We now know what switches to flip.
Well, I mean, one thing stands out to me tremendously, and that would be that if your awareness is that much different, you no longer have to rely on mundane methods of learning. If you could so intently be aware of a lesson only one time rather than the mundane method of doing something hundreds of times before you master it. You see what I mean?
I do. A good solid example of this, when I was a kid, I was a very young kid. I was probably about 3 years of age. I lived in Ohio. My dad had just purchased, I had to be younger than that. I had to be 2 years of age or something like that. My dad and mom had just purchased a nice trailer or a modular home. It had in-floor heating, which, since you guys are both up north, you know what that means. There's this big metal grate in the middle of your floor, and it gets very hot.
Right.
Do you know how I learned not to run in the house? Can you imagine?
I do, but please finish.
I landed hands and feet first onto this metal grate. and burnt the living shit out of myself.
Yep.
One time.
One time.
One time.
That's all it took. And to this day, I will never run inside my house. Or any other building, for that matter.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, those experiences, those moments, not only teach lessons, but I think that it can sometimes be shocking when you have something happen that actually jars you out of that sleeping state for a moment and brings you into reality. Because most of the time, at least for me, especially as an adult, when those moments have happened and, you know, it's different once you're doing it more deliberately, which is, you know, I did a blog about that today, is that I think a lot of the LHP in general is deliberately making yourself have those moments versus them just happening, is that when you have those moments, especially when you look back on it and get introspective, at least for me, I've realized most of the time that those things happen that have been really, really bad that have woke me up for a minute, I don't like myself when I look back on it. I'm not very pleased with the person that is, you know, having this issue. You know, it's like, it's kind of like a, I don't know, I always have this moment most of the time where I'm like, God, how could you do that? Why would you do that? You know, do you have no common sense whatsoever?
Right. What's interesting to me about that, and I'll refer back, I've mentioned this a few other shows before, but I used to watch this guy, his name was Pierre, and Pierre Grimes or something like that. He's a professor of philosophy somewhere. And he talks about the what the Buddhists refer to as the Buddhist moment, or a moment of Buddha, and that moment is the realization that this is not you acting. This is not what you're about. You're not this person that you're seeing do this right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he describes somebody losing their temper and hauling off and hitting somebody, and then the regret that they immediately experience afterwards. Because it was not them striking that person. It was their emotional center acting in place where the intellectual center should have taken.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that parallel, too, is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I definitely see, and that is one thing I'll say is that, you know, Buddhism has a lot of parallels inherently with a lot of things that tie into LHP. I've been rather surprised. I'm not big on Eastern philosophy, but the more I read about it, the more I'm like, wow, there's a lot of commonalities there that I never realized before. You know, because most of the time when you read about Buddhism, it's kind of, I don't know, passive, and everybody should love one another kind of stuff. Which, I mean, I know that I've mostly read the Western version of this interpretation, obviously, but yeah, I find, yeah, that's a very, very accurate, moment to express. For me, it would be, the most recent one was my son fell off a cooler and hit his face on a bucket, and it was, we had to take him to the emergency room. I mean, he was, you know, gushing blood out of his cheek, and The moment for me that really made me aware during the experience was that I wasn't in the room when it happened. I was actually out of the room, and the woman was, like, asking me what happened, and I was telling her what the other kids had told me had happened. And then I was like, well, I was in the room when it happened, so I really don't know firsthand. And she said, mm-hmm, okay. And I had this moment where I was like, you really should have been in the room with the child when it happened, so you knew what was happening. And it was like this entire, like, you know, the whole time, like, you know, and they glued it, they actually used that glue to put it back together, but I kept having this thought of, you know, you should know exactly what happened, why it happened, you know, and of, you know, acted better about doing something about it. Because they were like, you know, looking back on it, there were so many things I did wrong. Like, I grabbed a paper towel to, you know, stop the blood from gushing, for example. That's not a sterilized gauze pad. I could have caused an infection. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, post, after thinking about it, I'm like, you know, I didn't do enough to, you know, keep him from having a, you know, nasty little cut on his cheek right now.
Now, let me just kind of ask you a question here. Had you been already observing yourself as this incident was initiating and then going down, do you think you would have reacted in a different manner? I mean, would you have gone through like a mental checklist of potential, you know, problems that are immediately surrounding you and the people you're responsible for, and then and if the accident was still to, you know, go along, because I think that it's very difficult to be that deliberate in your being.
Mm-hmm.
Since accident would still most likely happen, would you have handled the process differently had you not immediately allowed, you know, your emotional center to panic and take over what you were doing?
I don't know. And that's the thing is that, you know, I think I handled it well because I, you know, like my husband walked in the room and I looked at him and I said, hospital. That's all I said. Like, we, you know, we got him up and went. But, you know, there was just this, I don't know, it was one of those, you know, I could have done more, I could have done better moments, I guess, with my three-year-old. Although the irony
sure.
is that he's very happy because he got a new teddy bear when he got there, which he named after the paramedic who took him right back. So we have a new teddy bear in the house named Doug. So Doug is my permanent reminder of my, you know, momentary failure as a parent, so to speak, you know.
Right. It's actually kind of funny because he's more of a token. I don't think that you'll need a reminder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh,
yeah.
No, yeah. But it was just a moment. And also, I realized, too, that the other thing I realized during all that is that I'm really resistant to authority, because when they started asking me how it happened, I had this moment where, like, I had this thought where I was like, what do you think I did, stabbed him in the cheek? And I didn't say it, but, like, I was very, very, I don't know how to put it, like, almost defensive of myself when I was talking to them pretty much the entire time, you know, and there really was no reason for it. I mean, I realized later when they were, you know, the guy was saying to me that, you know, they were trying to determine, to them it looked like a dog bite, which is why I need to know what happened, obviously, because if it was a dog bite, you might need rabies shots or something. But my instant reaction was defensiveness is the idea that, you know, these people needed to know, you know, what happened and why. Which is, you know, I don't think that's a very good reaction, you know, at a moment like that for a parent. But I was relatively, that was the other thing that surprised me, is that, you know, the idea of an authority coming in and asking me questions made me very, very, you know, very paranoid, you know, pretty much the entire time I was there, actually, at the hospital.
Right. Right. Well, you know, what you are describing having experienced is, I mean, very human. I nobody could fault you for, you know, feeling that way, because I think that most of us in an automatic setting or in our natural way do experience that defensiveness when something has slipped outside of our control, when an accident
mm-hmm.
has happened. I was in a car accident actually the day that I found out that my then girlfriend was pregnant with my son. We were driving to her parents' house to tell them she was pregnant. We stopped at a traffic light, and this car just slammed, I mean, 50, 60 miles an hour right into the back of the truck. And, you know, I freaked out. I jumped out. And I was very pissed. I was getting ready to go over and grab the guy because I was scared. I didn't know, you know, if it was going to cause her to miscarry. I didn't know. You know, I was just scared all the way around. But as I got out, the driver immediately got out of the car and he started battling something about, I didn't do that. This wasn't my fault. And this is not what happened, this is what happened, and I can't believe this happened. And he just kept going over in this same cycle, trying to reason out what had just happened and trying to defend himself to himself. I immediately asked him if he was okay and then went around to see if my passenger was well. So it was just a very peculiar way that it all went down.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got about 19 minutes left in the show. Daryl's hanging in there on the line. If anybody else has something they want to add to this conversation, the call-in number is 347-989-1371. I'm sorry to kind of derail the conversation, but there's a couple of things that I needed to put in here. First, in a moment, I'm going to run a commercial block. It's
cool.
A minute and a half commercial. This is something that I want to get put into place in each of our shows that we're doing. I'm hoping to develop more than just this one commercial, but this is just kind of a test run. The idea here is to give the talent that's on the air a moment to breathe, a moment to collect their thoughts, a moment to reflect, and help to redirect things. And this hopefully will increase the quality of the show. And at the same time, advertise some things that we here feel are worthy. Before we run that, I want to put out that I'm going to need your email address, Jeanette, because the Ooze now has its own blog page, and you are going to be assigned as one of the administrators. We'll get into a little more of what that's all about in the future here. But the idea is that not only will you be able to get your Ooze on Blog Talk Radio, but there can be small blogs that are relative to things that are being talked about on these different shows. I hope to eventually establish a permanent show schedule on there. I'm moving towards the idea of, rather than having each show list what the topic is for the day, that we will have a running kind of list of topics, like Jason Sorrell does for the Illuminous edition. And this will enable less time scheduling shows, because we'll be able to do a preset, automatically repeating show schedule. Like, from now on, this will just say, the Boxes edition, Female Satan and Beast Xeno Explorer, the Way of the Slime Man, the Sinister Way, and so forth and so on. I haven't decided what the exact wording of this is, but I've decided that it would be cool to give all of the co-hosts access to this blog. So if you're out and about and you think of something and, you want to communicate it, you can just send an email from your phone right to the blog page for the Ooze, and it goes right up on that.
Yeah, I heard about that on Saturday, and I actually think it's a great idea, because the Ooze has expanded quite a bit recently, and, it's like you said on Saturday, that Ooze link you have really doesn't do justice to what it's become in the past few months. And, yeah, I certainly agree with that. I think that it does deserve its own website, and, I write enough that I can certainly, put a few blogs in about such.
Yes.
I think it would deserve its own kind of Wall FM type site, man. I mean, like the full deal.
Well, the thing of it is that if you register on this blog, it is a WordPress blog, so you don't even have to register now that I think about it, because you already have a WordPress account.
Right.
You can go in there. You can comment on things. If you want, I can give you a certain clearance of authorship. I won't be able to make you an administrator, obviously.
That's fine.
Because you're not part of the actual show. But as a regular listener and somebody that we respect in our community, we would certainly extend you the honor of giving you an authorship on the blog.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy that.
I would say too that I think that Daryl would actually be a pretty good host for another show if he wanted to figure that out and do everything up. Well, no, I do. I do. I think that you'd be good at that.
I'm down with any idea like that. So if you have something in mind or you come up with something in the future, hit me up and we'll see what we can get going on.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Beast has always said he wants us to be a channel. So, yeah, I'm always, you know, trying to get other people to, you know, step up to the plate there and, you know, figure out a show.
Right on. So without further ado, let's go ahead and run this commercial.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, t-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman! What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddity Studios. Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism. Now available in hard copy and downloadable format. Hoo-wah! Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddities Studios. www.creativeoddities.com.
I like the naked girl.
Creative Oddity Studios.
All right. So, a minute and 25 seconds. An excellent commercial. Jason Sorrell's first commercial production. So, I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Well, if
I like that.
Wait.
I like that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Daryl.
I was amused by the if you can read part. I like that.
Right on. You know, first thing I said when I heard this last night was that it reminded me of those like Labor Day Madness mattress blowout sale commercials that you used to see in the 80s.
Right, right.
Very cool, very, very Creative Oddity Studios. I think you did a really good job not only creating a commercial, but keeping the commercial consistent with the actual essence of Creative Oddity Studios. So hats off to Jason Sorrell.
Yeah, he's really good at the announcer thing. I think that I first realized that the night that y'all did the Exorcist show. You know, I was really surprised. I was like, you know, you really should have been a televangelist. It's like a whole lost career there. Same thing with that one. I'm thinking, you know, he really should be doing those commercials, you know?
Yes, he should. He's definitely a creative juggernaut, if I can use that term loosely. Well, I use every term loosely, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So, we're just into our last 11 minutes here of the show. I thought we would kind of get an idea of what direction we want to go on the next edition. Is there anything in particular that's you know, been on your mind that we might talk about next week?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I'm always open to anything, you know. I mean, it's like I told you before, let's you know, let's tear up the fourth play. So, you know, I mean, we've done Deliberate Memories, you know. What should we do next?
I think the next thing that might be important is to maybe talk about influences a little more, not just recognizing what influences are, but possibly discussing ways that you can... Well, no, we've kind of beat that horse to death, so let's talk rather about how to influence things.
That is so
I like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But that is so weird that you say that, because I have been studying that most of the day and preparing that as my next blog entry on WordPress.
Actually, it's funny for me, because I actually I was going to do a blog about that, which is that I ran into a girl today at the mall who was wearing an, it kind of looked like the triple goddess symbol, sort of, that the Wiccans use, except it was three upside-down pentagrams. And she wound up, I said, nice shirt, and then she said, are you female Satan? And this started an entire conversation where I realized that, like, I had, like, directly influenced this girl without even realizing I had done it. You know, where, like, she knew who I was, she looked at the show, she read my blog. You know, there's, like, a whole conversation. I was actually going to do a blog about it, because, like, I didn't even realize that I was influencing people kind of until that moment where I was like, oh, wow, you know, like, I actually met a fan face-to-face in public, and I have them. Like, you know, I actually had that moment today. So, yeah, no, that's a great topic, actually.
Excellent. Then I guess in preparation of the next week, let's both try to observe one time that we've influenced something so that we have an example to talk about, and then we'll discuss how it not only relates to the fourth way as well as some of the other sinister ideology that's out there right now.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, that's a great topic because I got hit with that today, and I'm always actually really surprised when I wind up getting an email or something from somebody who is, you know, says that I'm an influencer or something. I'm always thinking, what, you know, like, don't you read other people? Like, I don't know. I've come to the conclusion that I view myself too negatively. That's pretty much always my conclusion when I talk to people like that. I'm like, but I'm just me. Who are you talking about, you know?
Right on. Well, I kind of have that same attitude. There has been a few times in my past where people have paid a little extra recognition or attention to me, and I'm always scratching my head trying to figure out why it is they're paying attention to me, because all I'm doing is trying to keep my own shit in order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. What else? I told her, because she said, but you're such a big influence on me. She kept doing this whole thing, and I was like, and I even said it, I said, but I only write for me. And she was like, you only write for you? I said, yeah, that's why I write the stuff. It's my hobby. And she was like, but it's not a hobby. I read everything you do. And she went through this thing, and I was just like, oh, wow. You know, like, I didn't realize I did that, you know. At all for, like, anybody. It's like when you say, you know, you're one of my favorite people. I've seen you grow so much. I'm like, you know, is she talking about somebody behind me that I don't see? You know, I don't know why that is. Like I said, I've come to the conclusion I have a pretty negative self-image of myself, especially when I have those encounters like that, because of, you know, it's like you said, I'm just me, you know. So I'm like looking around looking for, you know, like, who are you talking about? Like, you know, I'm no guru, you know. Why are you following me, you know, or why are you listening to me? I'm not an influence.
Right. Well, here's the thing, and again, I'm going to kind of point back to the now title of this show. It is the fact that you actually are moving forward with practice that people pay attention to it. You're doing things. You're not just philosophizing them. You're not just saying, you know, I think this is the right idea, but you're implementing it, and you're experiencing it, and you're going to, you know, because of that, create an interest in what's going on.
Yeah, and it's always a surprise, you know, when you find out that you've influenced somebody else. But also, I think, you know, at least for me too, I've always been surprised when I find out that my influencers are paying attention to me. You know, I'm always like, you know, you actually read my stuff, you know, like. That's the other day, talking to you, and you were talking about my third self blog. I was like, oh, wow, he actually read that. Cool. I didn't realize anybody read that.
Actually, I read everything that you put up.
Yeah.
I go there at least every other day. So, if there are a handful of people, I have two of them on online actually right now, that everything they put up, I take the time to stop and read. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm the same way, and you know, I get you know, and it's just moments where it's like, you know, it's this handful of people that, like, I don't know, I really resonate with, or I really feel like, you know, I, like, as soon as I see it comes out, I'm like, oh, I have to read that. That's, you know, that's blank, and they're writing something. I have to read that right now, you know. And you know, and at the same time, I always realize, you know, when I think about myself, I'm like, you know, that was just a person, just like you. You know, calm down a little bit. You know, you're
right,
you know, these are just people that are writing these things. You know, but yeah, it can be disconcerting, and I think that it's something that the internet provides that other avenues don't, which is that you know the author, and sometimes you know them rather well. You know, and it can always be a surprise. You know, when, like, I don't think people really experienced that 100 years ago. You just read the book, you know, and the person was kind of an imaginary figure in your head. And I think that, you know, in a way, that's part of what's great about our own time period, is that it's kind of decimating that, you know, the author is somehow above you, is that, you know, you can go talk to them, you know, or you may, you know, run into them in a chat room, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, to where, like, you know, that person is actually a person to you and not just a writer.
Right, right. Well, with all that noted there, I just wanted to kind of say you guys are definitely on your way to being your own Sly Man, so you know, keep up the good work, both of you, you and Daryl. Daryl, thank you, actually, this evening for your contribution to the show. I think you definitely enriched it.
Thank you for having me.
And we've got about 2 minutes left, so if you guys both want to toss out your blog addresses so that people who listen to the show can go check it out. We'll start with Jeanette, and we'll move our way to you, Daryl.
All right, mine is Female Satan, and it's http://female-satan.blogspot.com. That's where most of my stuff goes. I still post links on send to it, but I'm actually considering doing away with that, and my stuff will just be going up on my blog, and actually probably won't be going up on Sendme More.
Well, it's a good spot to keep it. And Bill?
I am Interrogist everywhere. I am Interrogist on Sin, I'm Interrogist on YouTube, and I'm Interrogist on WordPress. And
yep.
My WordPress is new. I only have 3 posts so far, but I plan on writing a lot more because I feel like I've kind of been hanging out in this community for a while, but it seems like a lot of this community is moving to WordPress. That's kind of like the new outlet or whatever. So yeah, I'm there as well. And if you're on any social network and you wonder if I'm there, just look for Interrogist.
Yeah, unless it's my Satan, I need to. He's actually Daryl there. I wrote something on your wall today. I sent you a message. That's what I was going to tell you, by the way. Sent you a message, L316, in response to your message at Sin, and I sent you a wall response because you never accepted my friend request at my Satan, dude.
Well, it's like I was telling TC earlier, I went to my Satan once, and I created an account, and I looked at it, and just to be completely honest, it looked silly, and I have not been there in, like, a year or 6 months or however long it's been since I went there. I never went back. So I have an account, but I don't even know my password to it any longer.
All right. Yeah, no, WordPress is where everybody's at but me, but I'm a... And I do have a WordPress account. I just haven't transferred everything over there yet because, like, everybody's linked to my blog, so now I'm kind of like, I'm going to be stuck with that one, you know?
Right on. Well, guys, time's up, so we'll talk to you guys next week. Female Satan, will, you're on Friday, right?
Yep, Friday.
All right. So everybody check us out Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're out of here.
All right, you guys.
Freedom on an East Studios!
Oh. Damn it. I hit the wrong button. All right, let's try this again later.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the old expression goes. Number one, special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?